It's 247. If you're in the market for a camera, you'll want to look for the new issue of Consumer Reports magazine or log on to consumerreports.org. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Consumer Reports tested 77 models of digital cameras for the July issue. Both point and shoot and single lens reflex models were tested. Some of the best of the point-and-shoot models tested came in with a price tag of less than $150. The associate editor for digital imaging at Consumer Reports is Terry Sullivan, and I'm pleased to welcome him to the program this afternoon. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Celeste. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
Good. Well, the article says the most important performance attribute in a digital camera is, no surprise here, image quality. What do we look for in sizing up a camera's ability to provide images that will make us happy?
Sure. Well, when we test digital cameras, what we look for is we use tests to judge the image sharpness, different qualities of the imaging also have to do with whether the camera has the ability to really get a good, sharp image. We also look for other elements such as color, confusing terms like dynamic range also enters into it. And that basically is the ability to get the wide spectrum of dark grays, medium grays, light tones, all in the same picture. So a digital camera, you know, has to handle a lot of those elements. But in addition to that, it also has to perform very well. A lot of people's major gripes with digital cameras, especially in the past, have to do with how quickly their camera will take a photo. And that's often called lag, shutter lag, or what we call first shot delay or next shot delay. And that's another thing we rate, how quickly will the picture, you know, you'll press the shutter button, and then with older cameras, it takes forever to actually take the picture. If you're taking a baseball picture, your son or daughter is on second base already. So we judge things like performance as well to see how digital cameras rate.
Yeah. You mentioned older cameras, and if someone is ready to trade for a newer model, what can you do with your old camera?
Well, a lot. We did a survey of various people, and we were surprised to find that some people chucked them in the trash. And we felt that, well, gee, why not give it to a young person who might, you know, have the camera. There are surprisingly, it's nice to know that some camera companies actually have recycling programs. I think Sony is one of them. So. That you can send them in, and in some cases you might be able to get a little bit of money to put towards your new camera.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Yeah. You suggest downplaying megapixels. Why?
Right. Well, for years, a lot of the camera companies had pushed that as, you know, more megapixels is better. Essentially, megapixel says nothing about quality. All it does is really talk about how large you can enlarge your photo. And now, if you're doing poster size prints, then you know you might want to have a 12 or 14 megapixel camera. But for the most part, a 6 or 7 megapixels is really all you need, although there's no digital camera that is as low as that on the market anymore. Most of them begin around 7 or 8 megapixels. So it's not that it's unimportant, but you don't want to overemphasize, oh, I've got a huge megapixel camera.
My amplifier goes to 11.
Yeah, exactly. The definite Spinal Tap reference.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mentioned that you found some point-and-shoot cameras to recommend with a price tag less than $150. Are there many of them?
There are a number of them. Sometimes they tend to be lower in our ratings just because some of them don't have that many features or they just don't have that great image quality. But some of them did surprisingly well. For instance, Pentax, the Optio E70 is quite a nice camera that did. Again, it's not doesn't have all the bells and whistles on it, but it was about $140, which is a nice nice price for a digital camera in terms of its price. Nikon has a camera called the Coolpix L19, which is about $110, which is pretty cheap. And again, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles on it, but for a cheap camera, if you just want something that's not too expensive, then that's the way to go.
Yeah. What advice do you have for people who may wonder if a point-and-shoot or an SLR would be best for them?
Well, the reason why SLRs, there are a number of reasons why SLRs are so desirable. They're the best cameras for images for good reason. The sensors are what are in cameras that replace film that actually capture the image. Well, in SLRs, these sensors are larger. They're significantly larger than point and shoots, so they're able to capture various tones and light much, much better, and especially and particularly in low light performance for a lot of different situations. You know, say a image of a child blowing out a birthday cake. Well, you know, you don't want to have a flash on for that kind of picture. Well, SLRs just really excel in those sort of situations. Another element is the fact that they take different types of lenses, and in some cases, if you have an old film SLR, the same brand might have the same lenses fitting the new digital SLR.
Ooh, that's good news.
Yeah, and it also, lastly, there are a lots of different settings and features you can set on SLRs that really make it a creative powerhouse to work with.
Yeah. Earlier you mentioned that annoying delay is going away. Are there some other features that consumers will find helpful?
Well, yeah, almost every point-and-shoot camera out there has what's called face detection and what we call kind of goof-proofing technologies. And what that does is face detection is where the camera is looking at a particular scene and then sees a face, and instead of exposing for other elements in the scene, it's exposing for the face. Classic example is two people are on either side of the image, and then way in the distance you see a stop sign that's in the center of the image. Well, older cameras would focus on that stop sign, and the two people in the photo would be, you know, out of focus. So here, the digital camera has smart technology that knows, oh, hey, I need to expose to these faces because that's what's important. So Sony, for instance, has a number of digital cameras that actually detect a smile and will instantly take a photo or several photos when they detect a smile. So these sort of goof-proofing features are becoming more and more common.
Yeah. Over the years, which brands have you found most reliable?
Well, we've done a study recently, and we found Canon, Casio, and Panasonic have been doing very well over time. We have recommended models over the past few years, and again, whether it's a subcompact, which are small enough to fit in your pocket, or compacts, super zooms, which have long zooms, or even just as we mentioned, the SLRs, they've done a really good job with those. Particularly, for instance, Canon, who has a wide range of these products, so they've been doing some very interesting things, and also doing a number of new types of technologies as well. One of their super zooms, you will set it on a self-timer mode, and it won't start its countdown until it sees another person come into the shot. So it's kind of those kinds of technologies that we look for in brands and cameras.
How often do you test cameras?
We've been testing them about every month and a half here, we have them updated online, and then every probably 5 or 6 months they go into the magazine.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Oh, no problem, Celeste. Thanks for having me.
Terry Sullivan, he's the Associate Editor for Digital Imaging at Consumer Reports. If you're in the market for a camera, you want to look for the new issue, the July issue of Consumer Reports magazine, or log on to consumerreports.org.